This week, we are continuing once again in our series, Recenter. And what we're doing in this series is we are following along with God and his people as he's brought them out of Egypt and brings them on a three-month journey down to Mount Sinai, where they will encounter him. And during this time, God is molding and shaping his people to help them understand what it is to serve him, what it is to live for him, what it is to trust in him, because it's easy for us to forget, but they could not freely learn about God and worship him in Egypt. And so God's using this time again to recenter their hearts on him. And it's easy for us to think that it's all this work being done in the hearts of the people and forget the man that God is using to lead them as well. Because you see, God also uses this time to teach and to mold and to shape Moses, to recenter even Moses' heart on him, because there are things that he needs to learn as well. For instance, that ministry is a lot like moving a Christmas tree. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, you see, this past December, I was getting our Christmas tree out to prepare to decorate for the season. Like some of you do, we've got an artificial tree. We got a new one after Christmas last year, so it sat in the basement for an entire year. It was there up on the shelf, and Kara asked me to go down and get it. And so, being a good husband and loving Christmas, that's exactly what I did. I went downstairs. It's on a shelf about 4 or 5 feet up, and I pulled the Christmas tree, and remember, those boxes are long, off of the shelf. And as I'm doing that and kind of holding it here, and part of it's still on the shelf, I do look on the side of it, and I notice this sign. Team lift for your safety. And so I saw that there on the side of the box, and I said, that's good advice for other people. I've got this. I just need to get it over there to the stairs, and I think I can do that. And so I'm holding the Christmas tree on my own, and I'm slowly backing it off of the shelf. And I'm doing great until that last moment, until that moment when the end of the Christmas tree comes off the shelf, and I'm carrying all of the weight, and then, and I realize I should have listened to that thing that I avoided. And now I've got to do something with this Christmas tree that I'm trying to carry. And so I'm swinging it around. It's too heavy for me to lift on my own. I'm kicking over Christmas boxes. I knock over Felix's old changing table. And I'm just trying to lug this over. And finally, I can thwump it down on the stairs and push it up the stairs to get it up to Kara to decorate. But I will tell you this. You should not ignore those signs that say team lift for your safety. Listen, I managed to do it. And the truth is, I could move the Christmas tree. But it also involved making a mess of things, knocking stuff over, a sore back later in the day, and some embarrassment on my part because it's not made to be done alone. And you know, the truth is, neither is the work of the church, which is something that God wants to help Moses and the people understand as we pick up together today in Exodus 18, and we'll be in verses 13 through the end of the chapter. So we're going to pick up today in Exodus chapter 18, starting in verse 13. And as we begin, we're going to see that there was more ministry than Moses could do on his own. There was more ministry than Moses could handle on his own. We see this as we pick up in verse 13. It starts this way: the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. Now, when his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, Why are you doing this for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge while all these people stand around you from morning till evening? Now, our passage begins the next day, and this is important to understand as well. This adds just a deeper context to everything that's happening. Do you remember what we read about happening, you know, in our earlier reading today? Moses had just been reunited with his family. Moses had married and had two sons during his 40 years that he was outside of Egypt. When God called Moses back into Egypt, Moses knew that things would probably be difficult, that Pharaoh might be looking to get even or to hurt Moses, because Pharaoh wasn't going to let those people go willingly. Moses knew it. So Moses sent his wife and sons away for their own protection, for their safety. He sent them to be with her father, Jethro. And now they've come out of Egypt, and word has gotten back to Jethro and his family that they are safe of what God has done. Again, why didn't they meet up sooner? Well, you got to remember, he couldn't just call her on the phone. He couldn't send an email. There was no established messenger routes that he could send. But eventually, word gets to them that Moses and the people have left Egypt, that they are safe of what God has done, and Moses is reunited with his wife and sons, probably for the first time in months, even it could be longer than that. And they have this meeting, they're reunited, and what happens the very next day? Moses gets up at sunrise, says, I gotta go help the people. And he's there all day, and he comes back at sundown. And we're told that people were standing around all day, which is a good indication that the people were still waiting, and there would be another group of people there from sunup to sundown the next day and the day after that. And Jethro, his father-in-law, sees this. Not only sees what Moses is doing, not only sees that Moses comes home exhausted, but sees the situation that his wife and two sons have been brought into, and he says, something's not right here, Moses. Why are you doing all of this for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge? This kind of catches Moses probably off guard a little bit, and maybe even Moses gets a little bit defensive as to why his father-in-law is going to be making these comments about what Moses does. So Moses just answers him. He says, well, because the people come to me. They come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it's brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and laws. He says, because the people need me to minister to them. When we're talking about Moses judging the people, there certainly is a little bit of Judge Wapner or Judge Judy happening here. I mean, you know, she stole my sheep. No, he stole my sheep. Well, we'll cut the sheep in half and we'll sort that through together. There is a bit of that, settling of differences, but there's something more happening here as well. And we can see that in Moses' reply. They want to know what God says about these situations. They want to know about what God teaches. They want to know about God's laws. Again, it's so easy for us to forget that they've only really been learning about God for a couple months. And so there is a whole lot that they don't know. And so when these situations come up, when there's a disagreement or when something doesn't go right or a partnership falls through, they're bringing it to Moses to go and try and understand what God says about the situation, what God would have them do in it. And Moses is handling all of this for the people, for the entire nation of Israel. And when he hears about this, we're told this, Moses' father-in-law replied, what you're doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Jethro sees what's happening, and he says to Moses, what you're doing is not good. And when he says that, he doesn't mean that it's wrong for Moses to minister to God's people in this way. That's not what the issue is. It's not wrong for Moses to share God's laws and to have a part in serving the people in this way. But what's wrong is that he's trying to do it alone, that he's trying to carry this burden on his own. It's like me trying to move a Christmas tree on my own. You know, I can get it done, kind of, but I'm going to make a mess of things and things aren't going to go well in the process. That's what Jethro says is going to happen. He says, Moses, You're going to kill yourself if you keep trying to do this on your own. You cannot do this. He says, the burden is too heavy for you. But it's interesting that it's not only going to kill Moses if he tries to do this on his own, but Jethro is very insightful. Jethro is likely a leader amongst his own people. He says, you know you're going to hurt the people too. You know that the people are going to get exhausted as well. This isn't just about you, Moses. This is about the people as well. Because, Moses, you couldn't even answer all of the questions that came up in a single day. Which you know what that means, right? It means each day the line's going to get longer of the people that are waiting for decisions. It's going to get longer and longer and longer and longer. And all of a sudden, people are going to be waiting days, weeks to hear from Moses about these struggles that they're having. And that's not good for the people. They're going to start to get upset. They're going to get exhausted. They might even start to grumble a little bit. We know they have a tendency to do exactly that. And Jethro says, Moses, you cannot do this alone. Moses, there is more ministry than you can handle on your own. Moses, you're not supposed to do this on your own. Jethro reminds Moses that ministry is meant for the many. Ministry is meant for the ministry. The ministry amongst God's people is not meant to be done by one person. It is meant to be done by many. We're reminded of this in verses 19 to 27. Jethro continues and he says, listen now. Listen to me and I'll give you some advice and may God be with you. How many of you guys would like your father-in-law to come in and tell you how to do your job? You know, it probably wouldn't go over that well. And Jethro understands that. You know, that's why he says, listen, may God be with you in this. Jethro is sitting there with Moses, and he feels like God is laying something on his heart. Like there's something that God wants him to say to Moses. And he knows it's not easy, and Moses might not really want to hear it. But listen, I want to give you some advice. Again, and I think God wants me to give you this advice too. He says this, you must be the people's representative before God and bring them their disputes. Teach them the decrees and laws. Show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. He says, Moses, you are doing well. And you need to continue doing this. You need to continue serving the people in this way. I think it's important to understand, Jethro doesn't say, Moses, you are too important to minister to the people in this way. He doesn't say, you need to be in charge of the, you know, picking up and moving, or you just need to focus on, you know, guiding the people and figuring out where we need to be going. You just need to get us there. He says, you're doing good to minister, to serve, to help the people understand God's laws and decrees and teach them. Keep doing that. He says, just don't do it on your own. Ministry isn't for any one person. Ministry is for the many. He says, select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring very difficult cases to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you. He says, Moses, ministry is meant to be done among the many, not just by you alone. He says, what if you find some capable men? And you know, I love what he talks about these in terms of the men, that they're to be capable, they're to fear God, they need to be trustworthy and hate dishonest gain, especially if they're going to be judges. But there's only one Moses. These aren't going to be men who God appeared to in the form of a burning bush. These aren't going to be men who parted the Red Sea and allowed the people to walk over on dry land. Again, they're not going to be Moses, but you can still find capable people, Moses. People with a heart for God. People that are willing to serve. People that are trustworthy. And you can use them to minister. Listen, some of them are going to be gifted enough that they can be over thousands. Some of them, you know, they might have potential, and maybe they're over, you know, hundreds. Some of them, maybe they're over 50s, and there might be some people that are very young, but you see what God might do with them and start them on 10s. You know, and everybody can do something according to how God has equipped them and how God has strengthened them. And Moses, if you will let them do this, the load will be so much lighter for you. Ministry isn't meant to be done by you alone. It's meant to be done for among the many, by all of God's people working together. And then he adds this, and I think this is important. He says, if you do this and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied. He says, if this is what God commands, if this is what God wants, he will make it happen. He will give these men the strength. He will give you the men you need. He will raise them up, and you will be able to carry the strain, and the people will be satisfied. If this is what God wants, God will enable you to do it. Moses did something hard. Moses listened to his father-in-law, and he did everything. He said he chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. Then Moses sent his father-in-law on his way, and Jethro returned to his own country. And by the way, Moses isn't sending Jethro on his way. Thanks, no more suggestions, father. Let's get you out the door. It's the need was met. Jethro knew that he wasn't going to be leaving his daughter and grandsons in this situation where they never even saw their father because he was so busy ministering amongst God's people that he didn't even have time for them. He sees that the burden has been lifted. Jethro has his own ministries to take care of back where he lives, and so he goes on his way. But in this idea that there was more ministry than Moses could handle and that it was meant for the many, I want you to understand that God was recentering both the hearts of Moses and the hearts of his people. In this, God recentered Moses' heart. God had to recenter Moses' heart because Moses had to come to terms with this truth. God can minister through other people. God can and will minister through other people. Moses, you're not the only one God can use. And you may think that sounds silly, but that may be because you've never been a pastor before. You know, when you have a heart for people and a passion for people and God is using you among people, sometimes it can be hard to let go of the reins. Sometimes it can be hard to allow God to work through other people because what if they're not gifted the same way I am? Or what if they say things that are different than I would say? Or what if they don't put in as much time and effort as I would do it? What if they struggle? What if they don't do it well at first? You know, that can be hard. That can be scary. And I'll just tell you from a pastor's perspective, I very much understand what God is trying to say to Moses here and the struggle that Moses is facing to let go of that ministry. And it's hard too because in some ways as a minister, you have to be willing to say, it's not about me. This ministry isn't happening because I'm so great, because I'm so special, because I'm so amazing. God can minister just as well through other people. That's hard. That's humbling. That can be scary. And God was doing some work in Moses' heart here to recenter Moses' heart on God, to teach Moses to let go of this idea that I'm the only one that God can work through. I'm the special guy. I'm the guy that God appeared to in the burning bush. I'm the one that parted the seas. I'm the only one that can minister in this way. No, there's other people that God can and will use to minister amongst Israel. Some over thousands, some over hundreds, some over 50, some over tens. And again, this is something that, you know, as I was thinking about, you know, what does this look like for me? And I know a lot of times I preach to you guys, but we don't come to a lot of passages that deal specifically with, you know, the leadership and them needing to struggle with their own hearts. But I will be very honest with you. This is something that I thought about a lot as I'm considering, you know, what's going to happen this summer. You know, a lot of you know that this summer I will be taking a sabbatical after 10 years of ministry here to hopefully come back recharged and excited and even more passionate about ministry here at Grace Bible. But some of you have said to me, and I understand, I feel it too, that you've said, you know, Pastor, we are excited for you. But I don't know, what's it going to be like here? You think I don't think about that? You think that doesn't keep me awake at night? God, what are you going to do when I'm not there at the church to be the one preaching? When I'm not there to be the one that's answering the emails? When I'm not there the one to shake people's hands and say, good morning, everybody! Obnoxiously, as we start off the service, if it's God, what's going to happen without me there? Do you understand how wrong that is? I hope you do. Do you understand what that's saying about my heart? God, I am not what makes this church great. I am not what makes this church amazing. I am not the heart of this church. Jesus Christ is, who died and buried and rose again for the forgiveness of our sins and through whose Spirit draws us together. God is at the center. God is what makes ministry happen here, not any one pastor. Not any one person. Ministry here is not about me, and I love to be a part of it, and I love to be used in this way, but I need to come to terms with this, and so do you, that ministry is not about any one person amongst the church. It is for the many. Is this what it's like to have me preach to you guys like every week? Because that gets convicting. So, like, let's switch it up now. Let's go back to what I'm used to doing. Let's talk about you guys some instead of me getting to talk to myself so much this morning. Because it's not just Moses that needs his heart recentered on God. I hope you see this. The people's hearts need recentered as well. Because Moses, he needs to let go of the reins. He needs to be willing to allow God to work through others. But that means the people, they have to be willing to step up. They have to understand that ministry is not just what others do for them, but ministry is something that God is going to do in their lives as well. And that's something that the Israelites have to take ownership of. It's interesting, you can see God helping them take baby steps in this direction if you look back at what we've seen so far in our series. You know, as it began, God was just teaching them about being His people, letting go of what I want, when I want, how I want it. And just learning to trust in God in the most basic sense of God's the one that's in charge. But after that, you know, God continued to teach them, and God was now teaching them to trust in God to meet their daily needs and to learn to trust in Him on a daily basis with the provision of quail and manna so that, again, God will provide, God will come through. Last week, we saw God take them one step further to not just God providing for them, but God providing through them. And hands lifted up to the throne of the Lord to be used as He sees fit. And all of a sudden, now they are being a part of how God is meeting their needs. And God is working through them to provide protection and security. It's not just, God, you do this for me. It's, God, you do this through me. But here's what's neat. Here's what's happening this week. God takes them one step further. And now, it's not God working through their hands to meet their own needs. All of a sudden, things are turning outwards. And now God is working through them to meet the needs of others. This is that next step in faith. This is that next step in trusting God. Now it's not just, God, I'm going to trust you to use my hands to help me and meet my needs. It's, God, I'm going to trust you to use my hands and meet the needs of others. God, I'm going to trust you to use me to minister, to make a difference. Some are going to be in charge of thousands. You think that's not scary? You think that's not hard? You think they haven't seen what it's like to be Moses, the one in charge? Some are going to work through hundreds. Some are going to be in charge of 50. Some just tens. But all of them have to come to terms with this idea that God wants to work through their hands to minister to others. Sometimes we need reminded of that as well in the church. In our culture today, let's just be honest. It's easy for church to become a service provider. And I mean, we are happy to provide a service here this morning, but it's very easy for church to become a place, a commodity where you go and you get something. And church is all about what I get out of it. What did I get out of the sermon? What did I get out of the music? You know, did they have something for my kids? Do they have youth groups? You know, do they have, you know, Sunday school classes that are going to meet the needs of what I want? You know, a lot of times our culture will judge a church based off of what we can get out of it. It is as if the church is here to just give you things. I mean, there is that place of God providing and God meeting needs, but mature, developed faith isn't just what do I get? It takes that next step to how does God want to use me to minister to other people? And sometimes we struggle. Sometimes I feel like the American church struggles for that. Because I'm busy. Because I got a lot of things going on. Because we've got so much going on with our kids, or because we've got so much going on with family, or because we've got so much happening in work. You know, I'd really love to serve. I'd love to be a part of that. I'd love for God to use me, but just now is such a busy season in life. You gotta forgive me for this. But you gotta be kidding me. I'm serious. I'm being honest. You think the people that serve here, that are active, that give, you think they don't have families? You think they don't have stuff going on at work? You think they don't have stuff going on with their kids and activities they want to be a part of? You think there's anybody? I've never met anybody in ministry that just sits around and says, oh man, I got nothing to do. I got no prior obligations. I got nothing happening. I guess I'll go serve at the church because I got nothing else to do. It doesn't happen that way. It doesn't. We've all got things. We've all got stuff happening. And what we need to do is we need to recenter our hearts on God. We need to have hearts that say, God, ministry is for the many. God, you want to work through these hands. And God, I want to be open to whatever that may be. When we recenter our hearts on God, what that means is we're putting God first. It means, yeah, you've got stuff. We all have stuff. But God, your stuff is going to come first. And God, I am open to use these hands however you see fit. And you know, I understand that that's different for everybody. Just like in this passage, there are some over 1,000, some over 100, some over 50, some over 10s. It's all in different ways. But you know, are you at least serving? Are you giving back in some way? You know, and it could be lots of different things. It could be, you know, helping out in children's church. You know, we can always use people to do that. But maybe it's going to visit shut-ins and caring for those in need. Or maybe it's helping out on our sound crew. Or maybe it's sharing your musical gifts with us in terms of worship on a Sunday morning. Or maybe it's volunteering or serving in Awana. Or you know what? Here, I'll give you an easy one, and the trustees will be happy. Maybe it's coming next Saturday to help paint the sanctuary. Not the sanctuary. We're not going there yet. To help paint the entryway and serve in that way. Or if you can't do that, maybe it's making a pan of brownies to bring it. But just in some way, in some shape, in some form, this week, would you be willing to lift your hands up to the Lord? Not just to ask God to help you, but to ask God how he might want to use them to help others, to serve others, to minister to this body. Because here's the truth, ministry, it's not about any one person. It's about all of us serving together. Ministry is for the many. But it takes everybody's heart being centered on God for that to work out. Because if Moses wasn't willing, there wouldn't be any ministry to be done. But if the people weren't willing, all of that ministry would have stayed on Moses' shoulders. It needs to be shared. Ministry, again, ministry is for the many. This week, my challenge for you is to be part of that many here at Grace Bible Church. Would you close with me in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, and Lord, we confess that there are times when our hearts do need recentered on you. When, Lord, when I think ministry is all about me, when I think it's about my strength, my power, my giftedness, rather than trusting you to be who you are. Lord, when we as a church body maybe are too caught up in what we have going on and don't want to be a part of that ministry. We hired a pastor for that, so we don't have to do it. Sometimes that attitude can be there, Lord. We ask that this week, not just this week, Lord, but that in this church, that our hearts would be centered on you, that our hands would be lifted up to your throne to be used as you see fit, not only in the struggles in our own lives, but as we minister to and amongst one another, as we serve as your body, the church. We pray these things in the name of your Son, by the power of your Spirit. Amen.